Amen. All right, well, we're there in Galatians chapter number 1. And of course, today is Father's Day, and I'm preaching a sermon on Father's Day, on the subject of fatherhood on Father's Day for fathers. So if you're here today and you're a father, again, happy Father's Day to you. And I want you to notice here in Galatians chapter number 1, and it's interesting to me that we serve a triune God. We serve one God that exists in three persons. And the first person of the Trinity is called God the Father. God the Father. You're there in Galatians 1, look at verse 1. The Bible says this, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice what Paul says. He says, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Notice verse 2. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace. Notice these words, from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God, notice, and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is referred to as God the Father. That is his name, that is his title, that is his position. He is God the Father, and if you're saved, he's God our Father. And I think it's interesting that when God seeks to introduce himself to us, to relate himself to us, to help us understand our relationship with him, he refers to himself and he introduces himself to us as the Father or as our Father. And of course, if you read the Bible, you know that's true throughout the entire scriptures. We are encouraged to refer to God as the Father. And the famous pattern prayer that Jesus taught, he taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And what I want to do this morning, and if you would go with me to the book of John, there towards the beginning of the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What I'd like to do is I'd like to just go through and look at what the Bible teaches about God the Father and apply those to those of us who are earthly fathers. I want to preach a sermon on the subject of lessons for fathers from God the Father, because if there's ever a father who's been a good father, it's God the Father. If there's ever a father who's been good to his children, it is God the Father. And if there's ever a father to look to for an example, it would be God the Father. And I want to give you seven thoughts this morning, seven lessons regarding God the Father and how they may apply to us as fathers. Now, let me just say this, and whenever you preach a sermon like this, sometimes people mentally check out and they think, oh, well, I'm just a teenager, I don't need to listen to this, or, you know, I'm a lady, I don't need to listen to this. Obviously, the sermon today is for fathers, and the application is for those of you that are actively fathering. But let me just say this, if you're a young man this morning, you know, Lord willing, one day you are a future father. Lord willing, one day you will be a father. It's good for you to learn these things now so that you can prepare for that day. Maybe you're a grandfather. Well, don't check out of fatherhood. They're called grandfathers for a reason. They're supposed to be better, right? They're grand. So don't check out. We need you to stay in and stay involved, and you can learn from these lessons as well. And since we're preaching about God the Father, I would say this. Maybe you're a lady here this morning. You say, well, this doesn't apply to me at all. Well, then this sermon is about your relationship with your Father, God the Father. And you can learn about how you are to relate and how God the Father can minister to you. And here's what I'm saying, and it's what I always say. Anytime the Bible's open, it's good. Anytime the Word of God is preached, you can learn. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So you can learn this morning, but I do want to preach on this subject of lessons for fathers from God the Father. I'm going to give you seven thoughts. We'll try to move through them as quickly as we can. I realize it's Father's Day, and you want to maybe take your dad out for lunch or something like that, but I want to give these to you as quickly as we can. You're there in John chapter number 5. I'd like you to look down at verse number 19. John chapter 5, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 5 and verse 19, the Bible says this, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, and he's referring to himself, of course, Jesus is the Son of God. He's God the Son. The Son can do nothing of himself. Notice what he says. He can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And I want to begin this morning by saying this, and if you're writing notes, and I would encourage you to write down some notes, especially you dads, on the back of your course of the week, there's a place for you to write these things down. Fathers today, earthly human fathers, like God the Father, should set the example for their children. The first lesson we can learn from God the Father that we can apply as earthly fathers is that you and I, as dads, should be setting the example for our children. Here Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of Himself. He's saying, the Son does not come up with something to do. The Son does not even really know what to do, but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, notice, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, of course, Jesus here is talking about His ministry on earth, and we understand that Jesus is deity, and He is the second person of the Godhead, and He is the Son of God, and He is God the Son, and we understand those things. But I want you to notice that there is a truth here, and the truth is this, that your children will follow your example. Your children will follow your lead, whether that's a good lead or a bad lead. Keep your place there in John. We're going to come back to it. But go with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 12. First book in the Bible, should be fairly easy to find. Genesis chapter number 12. And you go to, keep your place there in John. We're going to come back to it. Genesis chapter 12. And let me just give you a practical example of this. And we could do several of these throughout the Bible. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 11, the Bible says this, and it came to pass when he, now this is Abraham, this is the story of Abraham, was come near to enter into Egypt, and of course Abraham at this time is going down into Egypt because of a famine. Not a good decision, but it's a decision he made. The Bible says this, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife. And they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Now notice verse 13. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Now, I don't have time to develop this this story. If you're familiar with it, you know that here Abraham is telling a half-truth, which is a lie. He is lying, and as a result, he gets himself into trouble. God has to step in and help Abraham get out of trouble because of the fact that he chose to go down into Egypt, somewhere he should not have been, and because of the risk there, he asked his wife to deceive with him and to say, thou art my sister. Here's what's interesting. If you go to Genesis chapter number 26, and we fast forward many years and many decades into the life of his son Isaac, I want you to notice what Isaac does in Genesis 26 and verse number 7. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 7, the Bible says this, and the men of the place asked him, this is Isaac, of his wife, and he, Isaac, said, notice what Isaac said, she is my sister. Now, isn't that interesting? Dad lies about Sarah being his sister, and then Isaac does the same thing. And you know what? Isaac also gets himself into trouble. Isaac also causes a mess as a result of his sin. He said, she is my sister, for he feared to say, she is my wife. Lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Go to the book of Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs 23. If you open your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23. Let me say this, Dad, you are the example. And look, we see this in the Bible, but this has just been proven. Study after study has proven. If Dad smokes, kids are more likely to smoke. If Dad drinks alcohol, kids are more likely to drink alcohol. If Dad goes to prison, kids are more likely to go to prison. It is just a fact of life that fathers set the example for their children. So here's the question I have for you. Dad, what kind of example are you setting? Are you setting an example of righteousness and godliness? Are you setting an example? Are your kids more likely to wake up every day and read the Bible because they see Dad reading the Bible? Are your kids more likely to pray because they see Dad pray? Proverbs 23, look at verse number 26. Proverbs 23 and verse 26, the Bible says this, my son, give me thine heart. Notice the last part of verse 26, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Here we have the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, teaching us as fathers that we are to ask for the hearts of our children, the influence that we can have upon our children. But that comes by modeling. It comes by setting the example. He says, "And let thine eyes observe my ways." My dad is here this morning. Of course, you guys know my dad is, my mom and dad are members of our church. I'm thankful for my parents. And, you know, when I was growing up, we were pretty poor. We grew up in Hayward, California, and we lived in just a little, for many years, I would say the first, through elementary school. And then eventually we moved and lived in a nicer home. But the first, you know, part of my life, we lived in this little house that had two rooms. And my parents had a room. And my sister, of course, she was a girl, so she had a room. And my brother and I, we slept in the living room for the first, you know, till I was in seventh grade. I didn't have a bedroom or a bed. And I'm not saying this negatively. I think this helped me not to be covetous and to be able to, be poor is a good thing sometimes. Jesus was poor. I don't know if you know that. And, we slept in the living room. And every evening we would set up our little bed on the couches there. And every morning we'd fold up our things and put them away. And that's what we did. That's how we lived. But in our living room, we had the little living room, and then we had a kitchen area there, a little kitchen area. And I'm bringing this story up to say this. I can't tell you how many countless times through my childhood I woke up because of the light in the kitchen coming through at 5 in the morning while I'm laying there on a couch. I woke up to see my dad sitting at the kitchen table reading his Bible. And I'm just telling you that there is something, there is an impact that is made in the life of a child when a dad sets the right example. And whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not, whether you appreciate it or not, dad, you have eyes that are watching you. You are setting an example. What kind of example are you setting? What are your children learning from you by watching you? What are your sons learning about how to treat their future wife based on how you treat your wife? I mean, do you realize that, Dad? Do you realize that there is a connection between, and I hope this is not the case here, but do you realize that there is a connection between men who abuse their wives, raising kids that grow up to abuse their wives? You say, is that a coincidence? Not a coincidence. It's the example that is set. What are your children learning? How are your sons learning? What are they learning about how to treat their future wife based on how you treat your wife? What about your daughters? What about your daughters? In my family, in our family, I joke around, and this is not true, but I joke around with my wife that, you know, I never say no to my wife. Anything she wants, she gets, you know. And I'm working on that Mercedes or whatever, you know. And I'm joking, of course. I say no to her from time to time. But, you know, honestly, I try to treat my wife as well as I can because I love her and because of, different reasons. But one of the reasons that I try to be good to my wife is because I've got four little girls watching. I'm setting an example. You say, Pastor Jimenez, how does it worry you one day that your daughters might marry a guy and he's a jerk? You know, that does worry me. And I've got plans. Trust me. And you don't want to know them. I do need an alibi though if you're available. But the does it worry you that you might your daughter might marry a psychopath or a sociopath or someone's going to abuse them or treat them wrong? You know, I believe that one of the best protections for that, one of the best protections is them growing up in a home where dad respects mom, where dad loves mom, where dad treats mom well, where dad teaches his sons to treat their mother well. You know, when my daughters grow up in a home where women are precious and they are respected and they are loved and they are treated well, you know, I don't think they're going to put up with some jerk being mean to them. I don't think they're going to grow up. They're going to put up with, you know, dating some bum, you know, not treating them well. I don't think they're going to put up with that because of the model that has been set before them. Here's what I'm telling you, Dad. What kind of role model are you? What are your children learning about how to treat their future fellow church members based on how they see you treat church members? based on how they see you talk, how they hear you talk about church members? What are your children learning about how to treat and how to feel their future employer, dad, based on how they hear you talk about your employer? What are your children learning about how to treat their future pastor, their future pastor's wife, based on how they see you talk about your pastor and your pastor's wife? Here's all I'm telling you is that whether you like it or not, you're setting an example. You are a role model. So you need to make sure you set a good example. One lesson that we can learn as fathers from God the Father is that Jesus said, hey, I can do nothing of myself. Only what I see the Father do is what I can do. And there is an impact that is being made in the lives of your children by how they see you act, by your demeanor and your attitude, the things you say and the places you go. So make sure you set the right example. Proverbs 23:26, again, my son, give me thine heart. And here's the hard part. And let thine eyes observe my ways. Can you say that confidently to your children? None of us are perfect. We're all sinners. But can you say, let thine eyes observe my way? I'd like you to notice, secondly, this morning, not only should fathers like God the Father set the right example for their children, but secondly, fathers like God the Father should instruct their children. Go back to the book of John. Keep your place there in Proverbs, if you would. We're going to come right back to it. Keep your place right there in Proverbs. Go to the book of John. John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. John 8 and verse 28, the Bible says this, then said Jesus unto them. John 8, 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. Notice these words. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Jesus said, as my Father hath taught me. Jesus said, I had a father that taught me. I had a father that instructed me. And you know, fathers like God the Father, we should instruct our children. Can you go back to Proverbs chapter 4? Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs 4 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says this. Proverbs 4, 1. Hear, ye children. Notice these words, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Look at verse 4. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, and keep my commandments, and live. The Bible teaches that we as fathers ought to instruct our children. We ought to teach our children. Go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, and Father, the question for you is this, how are you instructing your children? How are you teaching your children? What are you doing to prepare your children for their future life as mature men? You say, oh, we homeschool and my wife does all the educating. Well, I hope your wife does some educating, and that's good, and praise the Lord for it. But what are you doing to invest into the life of your children? Are you teaching them what it means to be a man and what it means to have character and integrity? Are you taking time to train them and in the spiritual things, but even the not so spiritual things? I remember being 12 years old and I had my dad take me and my brother and say, let me teach you how to write a check. You have to learn how to write a check. You're going to have to write checks when you're a grown man. You're going to have to pay bills. Let me teach you how to write. I remember learning how to write a check just as a kid. Some of you can't write a check to today. Some kids are like, what the check, you know, and that's a different story. But the point is this, that what are you teaching your children? How are you instructing your children? Proverbs 22 and verse 6, the Bible says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We are instructed as fathers and mothers to train our children, to train up. Now look, here's the thing about training. And if you are an employer, you have some sort of supervisor position at your job and you have to train people, you know this is true. Sometimes it's harder to train people than to do it yourself. Isn't that true? And I will say this about dads. Most of the time, the reason that dads are not instructing their children is because it's easier to do it yourself. Don't be the dad that says, here, son, let me show you how to do this. And then, you know, you take it from him and you just do it yourself. Because you get so frustrated and you're so impatient and you have a short fuse. Look, training requires effort. It requires patience. It requires time. But someone needs to train your kids. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? You should instruct your children. Your children, you should be able to say like Proverbs 4:1, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Your children should be able to say when they leave your house like Proverbs 4 and verse 4, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. I said number one this morning that fathers like God the Father should set the example for their children. And I said number two, fathers like God the Father should instruct their children. But let me say thirdly this morning, keep your place there in Proverbs, go back to John chapter 8 if you would. Number three this morning is this, fathers like God the Father should encourage their children. Notice what Jesus says. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 54. Proverbs 8:54, the Bible says this, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. And the Bible talks about not praising yourself, not being the person who flatters yourself. Let another man praise thee and not thine own lips, the Bible says. Here Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Notice what he says. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. You know, Jesus said, I'm not honoring myself. He said, you know who's honoring me? My Father is honoring me. And you know, in the same way that God the Father would honor his children, we as fathers should honor and encourage and praise our children. You know that your words have power? Go with me to the book of Psalms, if you would, Psalm 45. Psalm 45, if you kept your place in Proverbs, just right before Proverbs, you have the book of Psalms. Psalm 45. Here's what I know about men. Most men, not all men, but most men, are impatient, have short fuses, are quick to give out negativity and slow to say anything positive. The Bible teaches that we should be the opposite. The Bible teaches that we should encourage our children. The Bible teaches that we should praise our children. The Bible teaches that our words have power, that our words can breathe life, that our words can breathe power into the lives of our children. Let me show it to you. Psalm 45, look at verse 16. Psalm 45, verse 16, the Bible says this, instead of thy fathers shall be thy children. Now, what is that referring to? It's referring to the fact that dads should get to the point in their lives when they realize life is not about me. It's not about what I can do, what I can build, and what I can accomplish, and the legacy that I can live. No, my life is about my children. Look, when God gave you kids, Dad, your life now is to invest in them, to love them, to encourage them, to make sure that they succeed. He said, instead of thy fathers shall be thy children. Notice, don't miss this, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. Did you just read that? Did you catch that? A prince is someone of authority. Someone who has succeeded. Someone who has gone up in levels of leadership. And the Bible says here that fathers have the ability, he says, whom thou mayest make princes. You know what the Bible teaches, Dad, that you have the ability to help your children, make your children succeed? And how can that be? Go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 in the New Testament. If you kept your place in John, you have Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. There's an old famous study that was done many decades ago where two teachers in the public school system, two teachers that were newly hired, new to a school, were told at the beginning of a school year that they were given a class, and this was a new class coming into that year. These teachers were new to the school, so they didn't know the kids, they didn't know anybody there. Two teachers were told, one teacher was told, you are given a class with kids that are slow. These kids are behind in their education, and we just want you to be aware of that. That's the class you're going to be teaching for this year. Another teacher was told, you're given a class that is advanced. These kids are advanced for their grade, and we just want you to know that. You need to teach to that that ability, and we want you to prepare and be aware of that. The truth is that these classes were neither. They were just normal classes. These kids were normal kids, not behind or advanced. They were just normal kids. But the teachers had been told that you're going to teach a class of kids that are slow, and you're going to teach a class class of kids that are advanced. By mid-semester and by the final of that year, in both cases, the teacher that was told, you have kids that are slow, all those kids tested below average in their grade. And the teacher that was told, your kids are advanced, all those kids were above grade level by the testing time. And what they found was this, is that sometimes the success of your kids and sometimes the success of those that follow you has less to do with their ability and more to do with what you put into them, how you see them, and how you treat them, and how you talk. See, one teacher said, man, I've got a class full of smart kids. So she walked in there acting like those kids are smart. Those kids are advanced. Those kids have some talent. They have some ability. Another one was told, you got some slow kids. So she walked in there talking real slow. And the kids had the same talent, abilities, same grade levels and grades that both classes had. But because the one that was leading them thought differently of them. Listen, Dad, when you sit there and think of your children as failures, don't be surprised when they grow up to be failures. But the Bible says that you have, he says, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. Jesus said, I don't honor myself, my Father honors me. As dads, we should encourage your children. We should praise our children. We should try to elevate our children. We shouldn't diminish them. We shouldn't bully them. We shouldn't criticize them and be critical to them. And I'm not talking about not correcting them. They need to be corrected. We're going to get to that in the sermon. But our job is to encourage and train. Ephesians chapter 6, we just preached this on Wednesday night, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. But notice it. I don't think we can do a sermon on Father's Day without at least reading this verse. Ephesians 6, 4, the Bible says this, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Notice, but bring them up. In the nurture, the word nurture means care and encouragement. And admonition, the word admonish means to warn or to give advice of the Lord. Our job is to care and encourage and to warn and to advise. Our job is to mentor them and instruct them. And it's also to motivate them and to encourage them. Go to the book of Romans if you would. You just flip back to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 8. I said number 1 this morning, fathers like God the Father should set the example for their children. What kind of example are you setting, Dad? And I said number 2, fathers like God the Father should instruct their children. Number 3, fathers like God the Father should encourage their children. Let me say this quickly. Number 4 this morning, fathers like God the Father should listen to their children. We have a great Father up in heaven, and we are invited to go to him in prayer and say, Our Father, which art in heaven. We are invited to cry out to God. I just preached a sermon on prayer, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but notice there, Romans 8:15, the Bible says this, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba! The word Abba means father, daddy. He says, look, we've been invited by God the Father, just like a little child, just like a little baby will cry for dad and say, daddy, daddy. We've been invited to go to God the Father and to cry and to bring our complaints and to bring our problems and issues to God the Father. And in the same way, dad, you should listen to your children's cry. Here's what I know about dads. You say, how do you know so much about dads? Well, because I am one. Here's what I know about dads. Usually when we have conversations with our children, it's not a real conversation. It's a whole lot of us talking and them sitting there. 3 hours later, you know, talk. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you that. When I was a kid, when I went up the hill, and in the snow, and this and that. And, talk. 3 hours later, I'm glad we had this conversation. There was no conversation. It was you talking the entire time. And when they tried to, son, listen, you're not listening to me. Look, dad, God the Father. God the Father talks to his children. He gave us an entire Bible to talk to us. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk to your children. But you know that God the Father says, hey, you just talk and I'll listen. As long as you want. Pour out all your complaints. Pour out all your problems. I want to hear them. I just want to hear them. The Bible says that our prayers are like incense that goes up to heaven. God keeps them in a bottle. He just wants to hear us talk. And Father, I would just encourage you, like God the Father, talk to your children, but also listen. Take time to hear them out. Take time to let them express to you their thoughts, their feelings, their fears, their problems. Fathers like God the Father should listen to their children. When communicating with your kids, most dads do all the talking. Learn to stop talking and listen. Learn to stop talking and listen to your children on purpose. You say, well, I try to talk to my kids and they don't ever talk. Well, if your kids don't want to talk to you, then go back to point number three. Is it because you're encouraging them? Sometimes kids don't want to talk because they realize every time they open their mouth, you're just going to jump down on them for what they say. They can't tell you anything because as soon as they tell you something, you go, well, I knew that you were, and I thought that, and that, you just confirm. Look, just let your kids talk. And you need to discipline them when they need discipline. We should look for opportunities to encourage them. Go to the book of Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter 12. If you start at the end of the New Testament and head backwards, you have the book of Revelation, and you have Jude, 32nd and 1st John, 2nd and 1st Peter. And James and Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. I said number one this morning, fathers like God the Father should set the example for their children. Number two, fathers like God the Father should instruct their children. Number three, fathers like God the Father should encourage their children. Number four, fathers like God the Father should listen to their children. Number five, fathers like God the Father should discipline their children. Your children need discipline. Hebrews 12 and verse 5, the Bible says this, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. And he's about to quote the book of Proverbs. He says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Say, oh, God's chastising me and he's correcting me. Look, when God chastises you, when God corrects you, realize, you know, that's a blessing. You say, how's that a blessing? Because God loves you. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. You know why I don't spank your kids, though your kids need it? Because they're not my kids. So when they're running around amok, running wild, being disrespectful, I'm like, that's not my kid. And don't misunderstand me. We love your kids, obviously. But I'm not going to pick up your kid and spank them. Because they're not my kid. But you know, my kids, the Bible says, that I ought to discipline them out of love. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? See, God the Father chastens his children. Go back to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. Let's see where this is taken from. This the quote in Hebrews is quoted from Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse number 11, Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 11. The Bible says this, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Notice, even as a father. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Dad, you need to discipline your children. You need to correct your children. Proverbs 13, if you would, and verse number 24, just flip a few pages over. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24, the Bible says this. Proverbs 13, 24, the Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. He that spareth his son, spareth his rod hateth his son. But yet loveth and chasteneth them three times. Sometimes people say, oh, I can't spank my kids. I love them too much. That is a lie.
Amen.
That is not true. Here's the truth. You can't spank your kids because you're too lazy. You can't spank your kids because you don't have the discipline to do it. Because the truth is, a parent that loves their children would spank their children. would correct their children, would discipline their children. We're not talking about child abuse here. We're talking about taking your child aside. You need to cool down if you're upset. You need to go to them and say, honey, sweetheart, here's what you did. I told you you're not allowed to do this. You did it anyway. You knew what the punishment was. You spanked them calmly. You spanked them, and do it in a way that is controlled. And then you hug them, and then you love on them, and then you pray with them. You say, why should I spank like that? Because that's how God the Father spanks you. God the Father just, you do something and God just smacks you across the face. You know, God doesn't do that. God is merciful. I'm surprised how much we get away with God. Sometimes I look at situations and I'm like, Lord, you are patient. You are a patient. You are long-suffering, and thank the Lord for it. But you know what? He does correct. He does chasten. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, the Bible says. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Go to the book of James, if you would. James chapter 1. I'm not sure if you kept your place in Proverbs. I'm sorry, in Hebrews. But right after Hebrews, you have the book of James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Fathers like God the Father should set the example. They should instruct their children. They should encourage their children. They should listen to their children. They should discipline for their children. Number 6, fathers, like God the Father, should provide for their children. Fathers, like God the Father, should provide for their children. James 1 and verse 17, the Bible says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Do you know that every blessing you have in your life came from God the Father? Everything you have. The house you live in, the car you drive, the clothes you wear, how much money you have in the bank, anything you have came from God. God gave it to you. God the Father provides every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. You know that God the Father provides for you and I? You know the Bible says that God the Father makes the sun to shine upon the evil and the good? Right? God the Father is a good Father that provides for children. And for that same reason, hey, fathers like God the Father, we should provide for our children. Let me let you in on a little secret. There's a huge misconception out there put out by the world. To the best of my ability, I try to give my children everything they ask for. I can't believe that you would do that. To the best of my ability, I try to give my wife everything she asks for. Now, here's the thing. There's some things I can't give them. There's some things I can't provide for them. I can't give them, and there's sometimes you tell your kids, sorry, we can't do that. You know when I can, I do? When I can, I do. You say, why do you do that? Here's why. Because I have a Father. His name is God. You know that I want God to give me everything I ask for? I mean, the Bible says you reap what you sow. If I'm a father and I have the ability to bless my children and I withhold it from them for no good reason other than just I want to, then why would God the Father not give to me when I ask? Look, ye have not because ye ask not. We talked about it last week. I want God to say, look down at me as a son and say, hey, anything you want, I'm here to listen and I will provide. So you know what? As a dad, I try to listen and provide to the best of my ability. You say, well, aren't you going to raise spoiled children? No, see, the misconception is that when you give your children everything you can give them, you spoil them. The truth is this, when you don't discipline your children, you spoil them. It has nothing to do with what you give them. Go out to the ghetto and look at these poor kids. They got nothing, yet they're all spoiled brats. It's not because they're getting too much, it's because they're not getting what they need. Because they're not getting spanked and disciplined. You say, well, what's the balance? Here's the balance. I try to give my children everything I can, and I discipline them when they need it. And sometimes we can't. And sometimes the answer is no. And they need to learn that. Just recently, my wife took one of the kids out, and they bought something. And another of our kids didn't get it. And, your heart breaks for that. You think, maybe we should have bought them. You know, but my wife, you know, yeah, that's me. I'm like, oh, maybe we should have bought them. My wife's like, oh, you know, they need to learn that not everybody gets everything. Sometimes the answer is no. And you know, that's true. Sometimes the answer is no. But you know, you ought to provide for your children. That's what God called you to do. That's what the Bible says. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now look, obviously, we're not going to give them everything. And some things, you know, if my kids ask me for a motorcycle and they're 8 years old, obviously that's not a safe thing, you know, or whatever. You've got to put some thoughts into those things. But you know what? As a fathers like God the Father should provide for their children and should try to provide every good gift and every perfect gift. They should try to give as much as they can. You say, well, I don't want them to be spoiled. Okay, then spank them. When they give you attitude, spank them. When they talk back to you, spank them. When they act covetous, spank them. But you ought to give to them. I mean, you do what you want, but I'm just telling you, I have a father. I want him to give me everything I ask for. I want to be able to go to God in prayer and say, God, here's what I want. Here's what I need. Lord, I have this problem. I can't deal with it myself. I can't control that situation. I've got some things, and I'm not going to go into it right now, but I've got four or five things on my prayer list right now, things that I'm praying for every day, some problems and some issues that need to be resolved, and I just don't have the ability to resolve them. I don't have the control over those situations. So I just go to God the Father. I say, God, I need you to take care of this. And I want God to give me what I ask for. I want God to provide for me, God the Father to provide for me. So fathers, like God the Father, should provide for their children. And if you're afraid of spoiling your children, just spank them. They'll be fine. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. You start at Revelation and head back. You got Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And by the way, that's what God the Father does for you. He provides all your needs, and then he spanks you when you need it. You say, well, I'm spoiled. Okay, well, then there you go. Let me give you the last one and we'll finish up. Number one, fathers like God the Father should set the example, should instruct their children, encourage their children, listen to their children, discipline their children, provide for their children. Number seven, fathers like God the Father. And I will just say this. I'm not going to say that this is the most important point, but I will say this. If you don't do this point, the rest of it doesn't matter. Point number seven is what balances the rest. Giving and disciplining balance each other. Instructing and listening balance each other. Setting the example, encouraging, balance each other. Modeling and being a role model and motivating them. But number seven balances the whole thing. In fact, I would say number seven, if you can't figure out how to do number seven, you will fail as a father. And I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm trying to help you out on Father's Day. 1 John 1 and verse 3, the Bible says this, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that our fellowship is with the Father. So what can we learn from that? Go to the book of Job, if you would, in the Old Testament. Right in the center of the Bible, you have the book of Psalms, and before Psalms, you have the book of Job. Number seven, fathers like God the Father should fellowship with their children. Fathers like God the Father should fellowship with their children. Job 29. I'm sorry, go to Job chapter 1, actually, just real quickly. You know how Job was a good dad? Job chapter 1, let me show it to you. Look at verse 4, Job 1 and verse 4. And his sons, referring to Job's sons, went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. You know, here we are learning about Job's adult children. You know that Job's adult children liked each other after they were adults? They liked each other when they did not have to like each other. They loved each other when they did not have to love each other. And look, you do what you want with this. I'm just putting this out there to try to help you. If your children grow up, you know, they turn 18 or whatever, 20 years old, they leave the home, and they can't stand each other, there was something wrong there. The sign of a good home, the sign of a good home is that you still love each other when you don't have to love each other. I mean, one of the stated goals that my wife and I have for our children is that we will have a good relationship with our children even once our children are no longer in our home. That our children will have good relationships with each other even once they no longer have to. And I realize that there are problems with sin, and sometimes people go off into wickedness and become reprobates. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm saying is this, that in the home, there should be a fellowship there. Notice Job as a good dad, verse 5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Here we have Job, a great man of God, who would get up early in the morning and pray for his kids. And say, God, my children might have sinned against you. And he would intercede on their behalf. But he was doing that because his grown kids were gathering together and fellowshipping together. Now, where did they learn that from? Go to Job 29. Because you know what? Kids do what they see their parents do. They learn from their parents. Job 29, look at verse 1. Job 29 and verse 1. Job 29:1, the Bible says this, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were. This is Job going through a difficult time in his life. Many things have changed. His children are dead at this point. But notice what he says. He says, oh, that I were as months past, as in the days when God preserved me. And what are you talking about, Job? What are you longing for? Look at verse 5. When the Almighty was yet with me, notice, when my children were about me. You know what Job said? I wish I could go back to when my children were about me. The word about means around me. You know, I believe that Job spent a lot of time with his kids. Spent a lot of time in fellowship with his kids. Mom and dad spent a lot of time in fellowship with their kids. To the point where when their kids grew up, they were fellowshipping together. Because kids do what they see. Job set that example. And listen, dad and mom, you need to fellowship with your children. You need to spend time with your children. Now look, let me just go ahead and give you a disclaimer. It can get annoying. Some of you came to our house. You know, sometimes you come to our house and my wife and I are sitting there and there's two adults there and we're having a serious conversation about something and my kids are all up in our business. And you know, it used to really bother me, and it still kind of bothers me because I'm a dad and I have a short fuse and all that. Sometimes I have to tell my kids, like, you need to go. Go be a kid somewhere because we have to have a serious conversation. You need to go, you know, somewhere. But, you know, our kids, they're just there. But you say, why is that? Because that's how it is. They're always about us. They're always around us. And they just, and look, that's a good thing. It can be annoying when you need to have a serious conversation, but it's a good thing. If your kids are always just wanting to be away from you, that's a problem. Now look, there's a time and a place for your kids to be away from you and for you to have some time with your spouse or with other grown-ups. I get that. I'm not saying anything against that. But what I'm saying is this, you should endeavor to spend time with your kids. You should endeavor to have them about you. You should endeavor to fellowship with your children. Hey, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You know that God the Father wants to fellowship with you? So don't be irritated all the time with your kids. Don't be dismissing them. Go play that video game. Just get out of my hair. Have them around you. Have them near you. Have them with you. Do projects with you. You say, but it takes twice as long when I do. I know it takes twice as long, but just do it anyway. Fellowship with your kids. Go to Luke chapter 1. This is the last place we'll look at this morning. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. Brother David Santiago was preaching out of this passage a couple of Saturdays ago for the soul winning challenge. And I had obviously had seen this passage before many times, but it kind of jumped out at me in a way I hadn't seen it before. Luke 1 and verse 17, the Bible says this, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. Notice these words, to turn the heart of the fathers to the children. That's a phrase that's actually found several times in the Bible. To turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Why is that? You know, I believe that the reason for that, the reason to say turn the heart of the mothers to the children is because mothers' hearts are usually turned towards their children already. But usually it's dads who get distracted. Usually it's dads who get enamored with business, careers, sports, hobbies, all sorts of things that distract us from our children. And here we're told that he would turn the heart of the father to the children. And here's what I believe. If you endeavor to be a father like God the Father, if you endeavor to set the example, give the instructions, encourage your children, listen to them, discipline them, provide for them, and fellowship with them, your heart will be turned to your children. And then, notice what the Bible says, to turn the hearts of their fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, notice, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Dad, do you know that's your job? What's my job as a dad? To provide 3 square meals a day, provide clothes for them and a roof over their head. If you're a prison, I guess, yeah. I mean, if that's your what you think success as a parent is, then, you know, the state penitentiary is the best dad ever. If you think parenting is providing 3 meals a day, providing clothes on their backs and putting roof over their heads, then, you know, hopefully they grow up and go to prison. They'll have a great dad in the state. Now, look, those things are needed. But if you think that's success, you're going to fail. What is the goal of a dad? We provide the meals. We provide the clothes. We provide the shelter. We do those things so that we could set the example, instruct, encourage, listen, discipline, provide, and fellowship with them. And the result will be this, that we will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Your job and my job as dads is to prepare a people prepared for the Lord. There is no success without succession. All this that we're doing here, all this, whatever you want to call it, Verity Baptist Church, the new IFB, whatever, all this that we're doing, all the soul winning and the heart preaching and the conferences and the documentaries and the YouTube channels, and all that influence and all that impact will be wasted if we fail at making sure that the next generation grabs that torch and takes it. It is my job and it is your job to prepare a people, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's why you do what you do, Dad. That's why you should do what you do, Dad. That's why you should fellowship with your kids and provide for your kids and discipline them and stop talking so much and listen to them and encourage them and open your mouth to instruct them and make sure you're setting the right example. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children that they make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to you as our Heavenly Father, who provides for us, who fellowships with us, who listens to us, who instructs us, who disciplines us, who sets an example for us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. I pray you'd help every father in this room to make it a goal in life to father like God the Father. Because there is no greater example of a father than our Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray you'd bless these men. Lord, I know they love you. They love their wives and their children. They wouldn't even be in a place like this if they didn't love you. Lord, I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd help all of us to set the right example for our children, to minister to them and to prepare a people for the Lord. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.